Thanks so much, everyone. It's great to see you. Thank you.
All right, yeah, we'll be in touch. Yeah, I know. I sort of know the way.
All right.
Anyway, we're on the debrief with Dave O'Neill, and I've got comedy legend.
Yep.
Richard Stubbs in the car. It's damn pretty exciting.
It is exciting for me, mate.
No, it's exciting for me.
Oh, yeah, sure. Thank you.
Just talking about how loud you are. Like, yeah. You have got a loud voice.
Resonant is, I think, the word you're looking for. My voice has resonance. I always realised that when I was at school, like for years, the teacher would come in late and then yell going, "When walking down the hall, Stubbs, all I can hear is your voice." And I'd be in trouble and I would go, "Why is that? This isn't fair. Everyone was talking." And literally they were. And it was only years later I realised, yeah, no. It's a family thing. All your brothers'
loud?
Yeah, well, resonant.
Resonant.
Our voice carries. Yeah, when a family, we always would have to go to loud restaurants when we'd have family dinners at restaurants because we're so loud.
How many brothers do you have?
I know. Grubby's a twin.
Grubby's a twin?
Yeah, I'm the little one.
So I met, it must have been the other, what's the other brother? What's Grubby's? Bill's son who was worked in cars?
Yeah, Heath.
Heath, I met Heath once. Yeah, I met Heath. I know Heath. He's a nice boy. Yeah, good story. Yeah, well, great story.
Maybe next time put some dragons and shit in it, but I think it's... I wouldn't have him.
He was working for Melbourne City Volvo.
Okay, yeah, no, that's pretty good. Oh, that makes it better. Good. No, that's a bit of extra information.
There must be competition, though, at the dinner table to get your words in.
My family had a rule. You weren't allowed to go and eat seconds unless you contributed to the conversation.
Really?
Yeah, because we're all boys and we're all training. So we're starving. We just, like, the butcher would come out to us in those days.
Like Sam the Butcher in the Brady Bunch.
He would just come out and because I thought everyone bought a box of meat every time.
Oh, your poor mum.
And we just ate. That's what everyone said. And we just ate and ate and ate. And the rule was, if you didn't contribute to the conversation, if you just ate, you weren't allowed to go and get more because we ate in the dining room and the kitchen. You know,
what did your dad do? I know your mum did. Your mum was a nurse.
Dad was in business. He ended up, his longest job and towards the end was general manager of VACC Insurance.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So between them, one of the reasons I've never ridden a motorbike, apart from a certain lack of coordination, but Mum would tell me horror stories of, because she worked at the Alfred, she set up the CAS, like that helicopter that lands at CAS at the Alfred.
Yeah.
My mum was responsible for
that. Really?
She was part of the team that put that in. The ambulance used to land at Faulkner Park. Anyway, she was the first uniform you saw when you came into CAS.
Oh, wow.
So I grew up at CAS, and she'd tell me about guys riding along on motorbikes in their thongs who drop their feet as they come around a corner. Most of my meals were spent with Mum talking about what she saw at work. Anyway, this person tried to kill themselves, and they failed, and they came in with their guts out, and I'm eating.
Because you're not queasy at all about of that. Because when I filled in for you on the ABC, what was that segment you used to do on a Friday? Life is pain.
World of Pain.
World of Pain. And after the first week, I said, I feel sick with it. Because people talk about ripping their toenails off on lawnmowers.
No.
And the producer said, Richard's mum was a nurse, so he heard all these stories.
Seriously, here's the thing, and I learned this. It's a real advantage growing up with kids, you know, when you've got kids and they grow up. Blood, poo, vomit.
Yeah.
I'm your man. I don't care.
Yeah, I
cleaned up. I remember working in a bar down at Rye Hotel and someone had exploded in the toilets and it looked like they'd done somersaults. And they said, I better clean that. And I went, right.
You're fine with that?
Yeah, just clean it all up.
That's really interesting.
Blood, poo, vomit, man. I grew up with it. That's the smell of home to me.
Because I did 1 week of those calls. I'm like, I can't.
Yeah.
I'm feeling sick.
Yeah, but you're gentle. You're a sensitive
soul. I'm quite
gentle.
I'm not that sensitive. But when it comes to...
Mate, I'm telling you, you're sensitive.
But how long did you do ABC Radio for?
11 years.
Wow.
And
for people who don't know, that's radio where you're by yourself, basically. As opposed, it is, you came from a team...
Commercial.
I did commercial teams.
I also did commercial on my own because I did mornings for 4 years. No, I did... XY was a team. And then I did Triple M Mornings, which was on my own. That was a bit awkward. Took the station off air 3 or 4 times. I feel their training was inadequate.
Yeah. You have to do the panel as well.
Yeah. And the guy who trained me in the panel famously had the air check where, for reasons that I don't understand, he did a gram of Coke, he drank a bottle of Jack Daniels, and he bungee jumped and went straight on air and took the last of the JD with him. And his air check was gold.
Oh, it would have been awesome.
Oh, boy, was he sacked.
So what year did you start radio in? 70-something?
No.
80.
70? What's wrong with you?
What?
Yeah, 80. So, all right,
was
you ready?
Was it 1980?
No.
80.
Stop guessing, I'll just tell you. I did first stand-up gig, 1983.
Wow.
And first radio gig, 1984.
Yeah, XY. Right. Yeah, XY.
God, that seems a long time ago now.
I mean, it does.
I'm sure it isn't.
It's not that bad, but I mean...
Oh, man. When I'm backstage at the Gold Coast or something, and they're like, how long have you done stand-up for? And I go, how old are you? 30? Yeah, that'll do.
Longer than that.
Don't even. It's too ridiculous.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and so doing that radio by yourself on the ABC, though, I used to fill in for you.
Yeah.
And that did my head in, though.
I don't know how you did it.
I don't know how you did it for so long.
Oh, I don't know. What, each hour talking?
Well, yeah, but just I don't know, coming up with the topics.
Yeah. It's a real grind.
But also, you would... I remember Derek Gill used to do the nights, and he did it as long as you, didn't he?
He did at least 10 years.
Yeah. And I said to him, why have you retired from... And he said, I feel like I'm interviewing the same people asking the same questions.
Yeah, it was part of that. I mean,
how many times did you interview Diesel, for example?
Enough, exactly. But I always felt like I've built a relationship over the years.
Yeah, true.
I've gone through about three of his names with him.
Oh, yeah. Johnny Diesel.
Yeah, it was Johnny Diesel early. Yeah. I was there early, and I worked my way through. I was getting those kind of interviews. I didn't mind because
you had a great rapport with the Rock and Rollers. Actually.
Well, because I'd work at it and I'd know them from the old days of Triple M or whatever, or even XY, depending on who they were. Yeah. And it was just kind of building on it and stuff.
Yeah.
So I didn't mind that so much. But you're right, it's a grind. I mean, it was time to leave when it was time to leave. That's why I quit.
Well, don't worry. When I fill in for you and you get, say, the guys from the Angels, the look of disappointment on their face when Stubbsy wasn't there. Where's Richard? Oh, he's having a holiday.
Yeah.
So they weren't that's informed. Nice. Yeah, that's nice.
Can I tell you, radio did lots of things. I've never won anything from radio. I've never gotten an
award. You never won an award?
Nah, never. However, I did hit peak everything in my radio career. Picture this. So I was at Triple M and AC/DC were touring on their Ball Breaker tour.
Yeah.
And I got to be the guy who each night came out and went, Melbourne, are you ready?
Oh, really?
Because that's what you used to do. They didn't have the big sounds.
Yeah.
Would you give it up? So I did that. Then I went and watched the gig.
Fantastic.
From the mixing desk.
Yeah.
And one night, I watched Akadaka from the mixing desk, having just introduced them, standing there with Doc Nason.
Oh, wow.
I know, right?
Rock
I was
history.
Like, I was... Oh, I couldn't. I couldn't even. It was too much.
Because you like Oz Rock, don't you? You like rock?
Sure.
Yeah. I know, I remember you...
Well, I grew up in pubs and clubs and stuff. And yeah, of course.
It's part of our culture. It's good stuff. I love rock. Love rock. We play a song on this podcast. We'll play some rock.
Good.
We'll rock it out. I'm trying to remember the first time I saw you. I reckon I saw you in 1983 then. It must have been 83 or 84 when I was at uni and you did a gig, an activities night.
Oh, yeah.
Between the Uncanny X-Men and the Reels, I think it was.
Yeah.
And it was at Melbourne Teachers College, which is Melbourne Uni, and you came out between the bands.
Mm. Did a bit of that.
Were they hard work?
Oh, of course.
I did unis and
uni's terrible. And between the bands are always terrible.
Oh, shocking.
Funnily enough,
that was good though. You did well.
Jazz clubs aren't so bad because people are there to listen more. But rock gigs are hard.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
I did gigs with Kids in the Kitchen. How about this?
Did you?
Yeah. In 19.
So what are you
what
going?
Year? 1984. Yeah, I did a gig for Charles and Diana.
Wow.
And I know. I've done Nelson Mandela and Charles and Diana.
What?
I know.
Where did you do Charles and Diana?
Well, so they were out here and they did Rockin' with the Royals. And I've got the posters there. I was on the bill with INXS, The Models, I'm Talking, me doing stand-up.
Where?
And I
My Music Bowl?
No, that was broadcast at My Music Bowl, but it was actually in the Arts Centre. In the big room in the Arts Centre there.
Wow, and so...
I had to write out the whole routine. I'd never done that before.
No.
And I did stand-up and I met them afterwards.
Wow, what was it like? How were you received?
Pretty well. As Charles said, that really wasn't as bad as I thought it would be.
Well, thanks, Charles.
Well, it's You know, that's good.
And Di, what was Di like?
She was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I slipped my number into the handshake.
Sure.
But she didn't call.
And then where was Nelson Mandela then?
So Nelson Mandela was an ANC benefit after he'd got out, and it was a celebration, and I emceed it with Trisha Goddard, who was from the
play
ABC.
School.
Yeah, play school on ABC. I hate that woman, and I'll tell you why. So we did the gig.
What, you hate Trisha Goddard?
Yeah. Afterwards.
Right.
Afterwards, met Nelson Mandela.
Yep.
Tall.
Tall?
He was.
That's interesting.
Not so much now, but
no,
he was.
No. It's,
and
it's
he's tall. Very... Oh, he's great to meet. And he's very...
charismatic?
Yeah, but kind of stripped away. Like, everything, it was just down to the wood. It's hard to
describe. Right, yeah, yeah,
anyway,
right.
Well, the reason I hate... Back in the day, before digital photos, had the camera, took beautiful... A couple of beautiful pictures for Trish of her and Nelson. And then she took one of mine and blurred it. Blurred the shot.
Blurred
and that's
the
only one I got. Now I show the kids.
Yeah.
I go, look, that's me and Nelson Mandela. Which one's you, Dad? Yeah, very funny. Very, very, very funny. Very, very amusing.
Wow.
And I keep waiting for the technology to be around where they can fix blur on a non-digital.
Never.
It's still not there. It won't say never, man. It'll happen.
It could happen one day. Well, that's amazing.
Yeah. So I've got that on my CV.
Yeah, that's...
And, oof. You know, the grand view. So
we're just on the grand view.
We're just on the grand view. And here's the thing. Get this. It's my birthday Saturday. So that was my birthday gig.
Wow.
That's what I do on my birthday.
Well, it's not exactly on your birthday. Close to.
It's a gimme in golf terms.
Yeah. But you stopped doing stand-up for a while because of radio?
Well, not really. I always did corporate work. No, I was raising my kids. And that was important. And I was doing radio, and that was important. And I did corporate work. I just stopped going out to
the pubs, and
clubs,
stuff.
And bars because I was raising my kids.
And I remember Danny Katz was.
His mum was my neighbour.
Wow. Well, he said to me, "Oh, look, I stopped doing sound because I had kids, and I didn't think anyone wanted to hear about being a dad." I went, "Mate, you've got to go into a stand-up room. All the comics these days are parents."
Yeah.
Because
it wasn't even that. It was more that I was on my own. So I'm literally.
Yeah.
My kids, I cooked the dinners, I got them ready for school, I did the lunches.
I've met your kids, they're nice.
Oh, again, there's a tone of surprise to your voice that I'm,
yeah,
I'm feeling...
They're nice kids.
Thank you.
This was a while ago.
Oh, obviously, they were less nice now. Yeah.
They'd be like fully in their 20s now, wouldn't
they?
Yeah.
As is, I went to the... My son's 25, I was at the basement of the Rio Calabria Club watching him have his second amateur fight. In Muay Thai.
Oh my God!
I know, right?
He's fighting in boxing.
Muay Thai.
So that's like Thai boxing. Yeah, yeah, right. And how'd he go?
He lost, but he did well. Yeah.
How do you feel about your kid being a boxer?
Well,
martial arts.
Yeah. It's a bit terrifying.
Because you are a big martial arts fan, though, aren't you?
Well, yeah, but what I actually think is, man, that's the sins of the father.
Yeah.
And so I've got to say, be very careful. No matter how the years go by and technology comes and changes and everything's different and blah, there is nothing so imprinting on your children as what you do. Like, if you don't want your kids to swear, don't swear.
Okay.
If you don't want your kids to drink, don't drink. If what you do...
This is very interesting.
They will pick up. That is it. There is nothing more powerful. Not school, not anything.
It's what you do.
It's what you do.
Man, you should write a parenting book.
Well, it's pretty thin. It's just that.
I'm trying to think of what I do.
Well, don't worry.
Eat bad food.
Yeah, don't worry. It'll all come back, including, and here's the good part, unconsciously, you copy the dance moves of your parents.
Oh, how funny.
And unconsciously, because they've seen it all their lives, and it just, when they're in the groove, it just busts into their repertoire.
Interesting.
Okay, mate, I can't handle it. You're breaking going into a green light.
Yeah,
what,
I know.
What was that?
I don't know why I did
that. Why do you do that? It's a green light,
yeah,
and you're
right.
Hitting the brakes and you're coming into it. People nearly went up our ass, and we're breaking into the intersection.
When I first started driving, one of my mates drove behind me and said, "You ride the brakes."
Oh, man.
You seem to ride your brakes like you're riding a Dodgem car.
Yeah.
And I do.
What are you thinking?
I don't know. I just like giving money to the brake companies. I love getting a new drum. I don't know if this car would have a drum.
Are you okay, by the way? I meant to ask, because we're the other side of the river.
Yeah, no, I'm fine with south side.
Are you?
I've never lived south side,
but I'm fine with it.
But
you're okay? It's got trees and it's a bit wide.
Yeah.
You're right?
Yeah. Okay. As the great Dave Hughes said, who you mentioned on stage, because he's just bought a house by the block.
I did. I had to make jokes. That's just great.
Oh, everyone's been asking me about it.
It's so meta. It's just fantastic. Yeah, bought it.
One of my friends had a theory he was getting paid by Channel 9, and I put it to him. He went, I wasn't paid. I said, well, you got a lot of publicity for him. Yeah, you're right. Anyway, I think he's going to put it in.
Yeah, he'll put it in.
But he said, when I moved from the western suburbs, do you miss the lack of trees? That's what he said. Well, there is a lack of trees in some parts of the west. Yeah. And anyway, I've never lived south side, but I've certainly been here a lot. We used to come and see bands a lot in St Kilda.
Sure.
But we never... Maybe because we grew up... So you grew up down this way somewhere, didn't you?
Yeah, but I did... Yeah, that's right. And I did so many gigs on the other side. I did gigs at the club in Collingwood.
Yeah.
With bands at the...
the club, really?
At the club, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, don't worry.
Bongo Starkey.
I've done terrifying places. And I used to go to see bands and... on the other side of town too.
Bands. Yeah, we used to travel for bands. That's right.
How about this? I was a big fan of Men at Work. Just talking about bands, like early days.
Yeah.
I used to see them. You know, the bands. I used to see them three times a week.
Wow.
And I'd see their residencies, and sometimes it's at Martini's. There's only 10 of us, and I'm there, and we love them. And then years later, I was hosting the Arias, and I presented them with their lifetime achievement thing. And I said that to them. Not one of them could give a single fuck.
Really?
No. I was all like, huh, it's full circle. I mean, we're a village. I mean, no, they couldn't give two rats.
They didn't give a rat's ass.
Not a rat's ass.
They don't remember you from those
days? No, they don't remember or care. No, because they don't.
Annoying.
Oh, it's the way it goes. You've met enough famous people to know it's always annoying and they never know you.
We just did the Grandview Hotel, which is the gig I run on Wednesday and February, and Colin Hay has come to that comedy night when Bob Franklin was on because he's mates with him.
Oh, that'd be right.
And he helped run the PA for me.
Yeah, well, he'd be good at it too.
He would be good because he gave me a great tip. He said, put all the levels in the middle.
Yeah, stop putting them up to 11.
And then the barman goes, I can't believe the bloke from Mental is anything is helping you with the PA. Like, it's Men at Work, mate.
Yeah, whatever.
He's a legend, that guy.
Yeah, he is.
I'm trying to also remember the first time I met you. Oh, you know where I reckon I met you?
Yeah.
It would have been a room that Dave Grant, the great late Dave Grant, was running.
Oh, okay. Was it the Dingley or...?
No, I reckon it was the Mitcham Hotel.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Because, of course, when I first started comedy... you were massive, and he used to just talk about you all the time. You were his hero, and then I did a gig. I died, I think. I'm pretty sure and then you were the headliner. And I reckon that's where I met you at the Great Mitchell Hotel.
I got. I used to have lots of good. Because I remember at his wake, kind of thing we did.
Yeah.
And everyone was talking about him as this guy who'd helped them and shaped their career.
Yeah, he was a good
which
guy.
Which he was. He was fantastic. Yeah. But to me, he was like. Partner, like an equal buddy. We'd been through so many gigs over the years together, and
yeah,
so I had a kind of different relationship
you
with
him. You did, then, I think you did,
was intense towards the end. Ooh,
Well, he went, he got sick and very sick, and yeah, you went out looking for him, didn't you? Like, he sort of looked up to you, and then
he went,
was relying on you.
Well, he had a terrible cancer, and the drugs. Were affecting him, and he went schizophrenic. And no, I got the call 3 a.m. That we'd lost him and we're in trouble. And can you come? Just out of the blue.
Yeah.
So I jumped in the car, and I'm getting a bit emotional. And I found him, and
wasn't he found at Bunnings?
That was another time. And he was
very Dave Grant.
He was really in a bad way, and we had to get him to a doctor, and then we had to get him to some. A care, and it wasn't easy with someone who was really fragile mentally, and oh man, I'm getting emotional. It was so hard, and such a hard time.
Tough. But I remember at the time you were saying, in a way, because you'd grown up around hospitals, I remember you saying you had a hospital bag. You used to have a hospital bag packed for these kind of occasions.
I think that's conflating two stories, but my daughter and my partner stopped one diabetic, and my daughter used to injure herself or get sick or something. And so I'd be in hospital so much, I'm ready to go. I know what to take when I go to CAS.
Yes.
I start to know them all by name. Between those two and my mum, I'd know everyone by name.
Yeah, right.
Mum would start getting sick and I'd be taken to hospital.
Yeah, well, that's what happens with elderly parents.
And then I cared for mum after. That's the other reason I stopped the radio. My kids I'd cared for, and then they got big, and then by then like a lot of people my age, I transitioned and cared for my mum and kept her at home and just brought care into her, and I looked after her until she passed. And then she passed in the year that I'd done the centenary of Anzac with the ABC at Gallipoli. And I just went, you know what? That's enough. It. That's time. It's time for me just to pull this pin and just go. And that's why I'm doing stand-up now. That's why I'm back doing gigs. I just needed, if anyone's looked after, been a carer, you just get sad. And I needed to cheer myself up. I just needed to be happy.
Rodney Rood did it.
Oh, yeah?
Rodney Rood, I sat next to him at a lunch.
Yeah.
I don't know. I obviously know who Rodney Rood is, but I didn't know who he was.
Oh yeah, I've done lots of gigs with Rodney.
Yeah, yeah. And he said, and then someone said, "It's Rodney Rood, mate." And I said, "What are you doing?" This was like 4 or 5 years ago, and he said, "Oh, I'm looking after my elderly parents.
Yeah,
I've stopped stand up, but he's back. I think they passed away, so he's back into it."
Yeah, yeah. Well, I can understand that. He's great. I remember seeing him in this. Oh man, this New South Wales club, and it was just like baying hounds. And
oh yeah,
he's walking around and he's just hitting them over there with a microphone, going, "Look at me. I'm funny. Look at me. I'm funny. Look at me." Until he grabbed their attention. I was just, wow.
Well, remember the
so
city
strong.
The city comedy store used to have the slogan,
yeah, yeah.
"Come and give them hell," or something like that.
Yeah.
They encouraged heckling.
Oh, it was so hard.
Yeah. I remember doing it in the early 90s, and it was a bit brutal back then. It was like,
ooh. Although it's interesting. I did gigs on the Gold Coast, and the young guy who runs... I had to stay at his house. I said, "Where's the accommodation?"
Yeah, I remember seeing the tweets. That was hilarious.
And I worked out. I'm staying at his house.
You're staying at his house
with a share house with 20 somethings on the mattress that Fleety had just used. I'm like, oh, come on! I really.
But they had a fan for you, didn't they?
Yeah, like just an old Mr. Who? Well, Sergio Paradise said, "Mr. Fans, quality shared housing air since the 70s." And I was like, "Tink, tink." I was all sweaty after the gig, and I'm just lying there on the mattress. But his take on it is that Melbourne comics are a bit soft, that they can't handle rough and ready kind of crowds.
Well, not my generation or your generation.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But
bullshit.
That's what I was going to ask you. Do you think that's true now? No. Like, the Gold Coast crowds are pretty...
There's shit gigs everywhere.
Yeah, but they're vigorous, but they're not bad. They're just like a lot of Rottweilers. They're nice if you take the paw and take the thorn out of it.
Yeah.
And they're bad if they think they don't like you.
I think, it depends on the Melbourne comic, but most of, if they've been doing it for over 15, 20 years, they'll be fine at it, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, they've done enough.
True.
We've but all surely done that's enough. Gigs.
You could say that about anything, couldn't you?
Yeah.
If I've been doing it 15, 20 years, I've got to be all right.
You've got to be,
surely,
exactly.
Otherwise, why am I doing it?
Well,
got to stop.
That's right.
We're coming up past one of my favourite stories. The Masonic Lodge had the block on the corner and they bought it and they wanted to develop the whole block. But the guy on the corner who runs Tiny Town Motors wouldn't sell.
Oh, wow.
And they kept upping the price, and he went, "Nah, get stuffed." And I'm like, "Mate, this is your cash. This is your ticket. No, they're going to get stuffed." And the Masons waited years and years and years, and eventually what they had to do was just build their glittering new multi-story building, and we're going to go past Tiny Town, which is now just on the corner, a shitbox green old building that he could have sold for a fortune, but didn't cash in his Tats Lotto ticket, and now it's all too late. So we're going past it now. On your left, Dave, look at this building. Look at it. Look at Tiny Town on the corner. Look at that. That's testament to one old coot just going, "I won't." Look, they've had to make a corner
out of the amazing. Building. That's like when you see like a car in a house in a car park.
Yeah.
No, they just have not given
him. And they tried to fence him in to not give him space, and he just won't move. He's just shocking. And he could have sold it up for millions because they were desperate for the corner.
Yeah.
Nah.
They just built around
That's
him.
Nose
That's
and face cut off. And you can get in the right lane here, mate.
Hey, this episode of The Debrief is brought to you by Sheba. It's a great rideshare app where all the drivers are women. That's right, every single driver is a woman. So set up your account by downloading the Apple or Android app and multiple users can use the one account. Enjoy the one account. And also, this is a great idea for dads like myself. You can set up an account for your daughters. Corporate accounts are available too. Sheba also takes booking. It's female-only driving service. You're back with Richard Stubbs on The Debrief, having a great chat. And there are some questions I ask everyone.
How do you open the windows, mate? I don't mean to be personal, but we're both done gigs and it's just steaming up in
the
here.
The odour.
Oh, mate, can you take your foot off the brake? Oh,
you're hating it, aren't you?
You're surging up a hill. Why are you braking going up
maybe
a hill?
I was never taught to drive
the
properly.
The IGA is on the left.
Okay, hang on.
We were just talking about people who've done stuff for 15, 20 years and they're okay at it.
How long have I been driving? Yeah, since I was 20. So okay. 32, at least.
Oh, mate, you couldn't drive a nail.
I love how you call an IGA, but it's actually a service station.
Whatever. It's IGA thing.
This is your local, is it?
So do you know they don't have a frequent? They don't have a frequent user card.
Right, that's annoying at the IGA.
It really is.
Now I've got to ask you these questions.
All right, please.
What went well and why tonight? These debrief questions.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I was thinking you're getting weird.
I ask everyone. Don't worry.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah, I knew that. All the early stuff that I was just making up on the spot.
That
all went well. I was happy with that. There were some ideas there I was just playing with and some stuff that I was doing for the first time. I just kind of, and why did it go well? I think because I have ideas when I go on stage and I make stuff up as I go along.
Probably good idea.
And I just ride the energy of the crowd and choose the words accordingly, if that makes sense. So the little guy who looks like me in my brain is, who's running, sorting the word cards out, is probably three sentences ahead of
what
I'm actually saying.
I'm kind of
analysing and I'm sorting words while I'm saying the words, and I'm in the moment, you know, I'm riding the wave.
What didn't go well and why? Nothing.
It all went all right. There was a couple of moments there where it went flat, and I started to worry about...
you did a fair bit of time.
I started to worry that... And it's been energetic, and basically I just think they hit a tired wall.
They just went,
I'm a bit tired, and I thought, okay, I've just got to get them and drive
bring
them
it
home.
Now. And you
bring
did.
It home.
And you did.
Yeah, well, it's important, because otherwise, you know, we got to make a quick run to the car. Great night tonight. Crowd was with me. I threw them off when Dave started the car.
Were there any organisational hazards that got in the way?
The sight lines. I kept looking to my left a lot because they were right behind my left.
Oh
corner. So I turned to them a lot and gave them eyes.
Yeah, right.
And
interesting.
So I made sure I worked every section.
Yeah, that's experience. Some people just work straight ahead.
But if you only work, if you don't look at them, they won't laugh.
Yeah, it's true.
So if you only look straight ahead, your eye line should always be to the back of the room. And as if someone's standing at the back of the room, that's where your eye line should be. And you should section the audience off and just look at them and tell individuals tags like you're a sheepdog and you're eyeing them, or a cattle dog, whichever one of those eyes the animal. You got to eye them. And so if you don't ever look at them, they won't laugh. It's like they're not there.
You should write a book. This should be in your book.
Man, it's a huge tip too. What happens to a lot of comics who've never done it, they work a two-level room. And they just play the bottom level.
Oh, you've got to play the top.
You've got to play the top. Because if you ever sit in the top, you're cut off from the energy
away. It's so true.
If you don't look up at me, I may as well be at
home. Like in theatres.
I could be on the phone and everything. You've got to play up. Don't worry about the first three rows. They're going to laugh, whatever. They're right there.
They got the good seats. Well, who's this old guy? What does he do?
I'm not in charge of the old blokes. He's wearing corduroy too.
He comes from his tiny town building and he's...
He's
upset.
Look, he's coming back, Dave, and he doesn't like the way you've been looking at him. He's taking umbrage.
I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah.
He's doing the full car thing. He's getting the squeegee out.
Yeah.
Is he a driver or something?
No. You know what? I reckon he's done a gig. He's in a black vest with black pants and a white shirt. I reckon he's a muso.
I reckon he's a jazz
and
muso.
He's just, yeah, of course he is. Oh, he's done the jazz because he's got a bit of the Colonel Sanders beard.
Yes.
He's probably like us, about to pop in for a servo pie.
Ooh, what are you going to get in the servo?
Well,
you're very healthy, though, aren't you?
I know, but I've just said the word servo pie. Really? Fresh this morning.
I'm not a pie servo guy.
But it's hooves and lips.
Oh, I know. I'm more a packet of chips, but I shouldn't anyway.
We won't do that, Dave, because we'll just like cry ourselves to sleep.
We can play a song now. We said we'd play some rock. Oz rock. What's a good Oz rock? You've been around Oz rock so long.
I mentioned the Angels. What about Marseille?
Oh, yeah, great song.
Let's do that, because that, I like that. That drives
it along.
It's good.
It's a good song. Here we go. Well, Richard, thanks for coming on the debrief.
It's been such a pleasure, Dave. I've wanted to be the one. This is number two, isn't it? I missed out on the first one, but I made it.
Second, top 20, top I don't 10? Know what number I'm up to. Maybe 15th. I don't know.
Have you done? I think I've been looking. You've done.
Done a few.
You've done over 20, I think.
I've done over 20. Okay.
Okay. So. Well, that cut me.
Yeah,
that cut
but me that's deep. But that's. It depends on your downloads, how many you'll get, and then you could easily get up to the top.
So you waited till it was building, in the market in downloads.
I wanted to get you on.
And then you brought me in for that.
You're headlining.
Oh, thank you.
You're headlining.
Oh, man.
I wanted to get you on when there was an audience. I didn't want you to bring in early.
Yeah, thank you. No, you
just
care.
Leave stubs for later.
Yeah, that's
like she said that.
Everyone says that.
Leave stubs for later. Anyway. But no, it's just when you're doing the gig with me.
Anyway. Oh, well, no need to kill the romance on.
Well, let's IGA it. Let's go and get a drink.